It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Monday, April 29th. I'm Josh Engelman here to break down today's three-game slate. Boston and Miami at 7:30. OKC and New Orleans at 8:30. Lakers, Nuggets at 10 o'clock. Shout out to Sleeper up there for being the presenting sponsor of this show. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow me on Twitter at Josh Engelman. What's good, everybody? Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Time to talk some basketball. Fun stuff. At least we got three games today. Denver gets to send the Lakers home. OKC gets to end the Pelicans' hope. And Boston will handle Miami. You know, stuff like that. Man, I wish I could have capitalized a little bit more on fading Bobby Portis yesterday, but unfortunately, that still didn't happen for me. Shout out Bradley Beal for being atrocious. Good riddance to Bradley Beal and the Suns. That's the one I got most wrong. I thought Phoenix would have a lot more life in that series. They did not. No, they did not. That was kind of a bummer. I was a bigger believer in Phoenix. I'm lesser of a believer in Minnesota. 0-2 in that one. But what are you going to do? There's always going to be one series you just don't see coming. Minnesota sweep over Phoenix was that one for me. I didn't have it. Crispy, what's good? Oh, I mean, I can still ignore them. That I can do. Einsteinium. Look, this is their only shot. If they don't get it done this year, they're not going to get it done in the future. They don't have a choice. Durant and Booker did do well. No disagreements there. I needed Beal. What can you do, man? It happens. It happens. Jalen Brunson went bonkers. Denver sweeping the T-Wolves, that would surprise me. That would surprise me. But I think when Minnesota runs into a defense that exists in comparison to Phoenix, they'll have some tough sledding. But hey, kudos to them. They did everything they were supposed to do in this first round. They beat the shit out of Phoenix. Just is. So, can't say a bad word. I might not love their future, but their present looking damn good. Couldn't say anything other than that. All right, let's talk some basketball, folks. What do you say? Let's get into it. Game number one. First one up here. Boston Celtics, 10.5 point favorites in Miami, 203 total. This is obviously two slow teams. This is obviously one team that's not very good against the best team in basketball. Real tricky to project out anything for Boston. We have 22% ownership coming into Al Horford. 24% to Derek White, 20 to Peyton Pritchard, and then 10 basically to Brown, Tatum, Holiday, and Porzingis. I don't know how to look at Boston and feel confident about anything. Right now, I am neutral to Al Horford. I think that $4,200 price tag, along with power forward eligibility, really helps him out. I think Al Horford is the best option you can get to from Boston. So that ownership doesn't surprise me. I am a little surprised to see Derek White separating from the pack in ownership. I am not getting there. I'm also not getting Jaylen Brown. I'm not getting Jason Tatum. I'm barely getting Drew Holiday. I am getting Kristaps Porzingis, though. 32 minutes, 7K, power forward center eligible. I'm 3Xing Porzingis. To me, he's the best guy overall to get to from Boston. Now, if we look at the boom-bust tool, we have... Actually, let me insert a row here. There you go. Now you guys can see the headers, at least. We have 28% optimal to Al Horford, showing him with some positive leverage. We have White a little negative, and then we have everybody positive. Tatum, 19% optimal, 13% owned. Jaylen Brown, 17% optimal, 10% owned. Zinger, 15% optimal, 11% owned. Drew is neutral. We have Peyton Pritchard pretty sizably negative. And then we have Sam Hauser pretty positive. Like, they're only playing these dudes unless the game gets out of hand. They are 100% only playing an eight-man rotation. So we don't have to worry about anything there. But I just see this game a lot differently. I don't want to say that I think Boston's getting too much respect from the ownership, but it's just so hard to really separate these guys given what this matchup is. The defensive stance for Miami, the pace of this game. I mean, Miami's pace is 92 possessions per 100. That is, or 92, yeah, I'm right. 92 possessions per game. That's exceptionally low now, dead last in the league. So I can't imagine really casting a big net on Boston, even though they do look really good. Probably around 10% is probably where they should be for most of these guys. Peyton Pritchard getting close to 20%. That I don't agree with at all. I mean, we're talking about a guy that when he has to play all of it, there's no like bench run for Peyton Pritchard now. When Peyton Pritchard's on the floor, he's out there with three more stars on this Boston team. So he's not soaking it up from a rates perspective in the same way. I don't like that 18% ownership at all. And the boom-bust tool agrees with me. 10% optimal, 18% owned. That's the most negative leverage play coming out of Boston. So that, to me, I expect Peyton Pritchard's ownership to go down a little bit. Horford just works as value. But I think everybody is probably going to have their own opinion of White, Brown, Tatum, Holiday, Porzingis. Chat, what do you guys think? Who do you guys have your eye on from the Boston Stars? Because for me, it's Porzingis. I have a hard time seeing it be Tatum or Brown in this spot, which is part of the reason they're 10% owned. Maybe a little under-owned, but I think there are easier spots to get to today in much better game environments. Yeah, Echo says Tatum. Look, 9,100 for Tatum does look good. They just don't need him like that. Why, Zinger? Price and position is my guess. I mean, I have Porzingis's target score at 42. That's 5 points clear of my current projection. Yeah, Jack Adams. I like Horford too. I think Horford's on a sort of a different level because he's on a price tier that doesn't really matter all that much. 4,200 is really easy to get to. Like, someone in that White, Brown, Tatum, Holiday group, like, is going to be good. But are they extra special good? Anxious to see what this ownership does all day. I think that'll be really intriguing. And, like, it's pretty much the same on FanDuel. Like, nobody's getting incredible ownership. And I feel like everybody's sort of in the same page here. Like, there's definitely not a consensus Boston option. And I think that's what sort of explains this ownership the best. So I don't have much else to say on Boston. They're clearly the easiest team to talk about. We know exactly what we're getting out of this rotation every single night. Now for Miami, we have 35% ownership coming into Jaime Jaquez. We have 30 coming into Caleb Martin. We have 20 to Bam Adebayo. Round 15 for Highsmith and Jovic. And then single digits for everybody else. So as I see this one, I'm very different in two spots. I agree with the Caleb Martin ownership. He's 30% owned. I have 36. I have him as the only top 10 guy on Miami. I have him ranked sixth. We have him 25% optimal, 30% owned. So a little over-owned. We're bigger believers in Jaquez from an optimal percentage. I like the power forward positionality for Jaquez. Small forward, power forward, 5,400 though. I think he's wildly over-owned. I got to very, very little Jaime Jaquez. Now, I've been getting to very little Jaime Jaquez. We have him 29. Well, we have him basically 30 optimal, 35% owned. So a little bit of negative leverage. I wouldn't mind having a little bit more, but I'm fine with being light on Jaquez. The guy that I'm getting to is Bam, 7,900. I didn't really get to him last time out. 1.16 fantasy points per minute. He's 18% owned, currently in 42% of my lineups. Feels like a little bit of a way to get mildly different. Because 18% is not all that crazy for a three-gamer. You know, you have Chet out there, whatever we're doing at center from New Orleans, AD, Jokic is showing up out there. Obviously, Porzingis can. But like, 7,900 for Bam in 38 minutes? Trying to save the season? I'm okay with it. But it's Bam and Martin for me. And then to a lesser extent, DeLon Wright and Nikola Jovic. Jovic ended up getting north of 30 minutes last time out, which is very surprising. We really don't see him out there on the floor in the fourth quarter all that much. I only projected 26 minutes, but we now know his ceiling is 32. I'm not that big of a believer in Highsmith. He's just not that kind of fantasy performer. You have to get his minutes right to feel good about getting to Haywood Highsmith. I think Duncan Robinson is tough to get to because they don't seem to be throwing those minutes at him. Kevin Love isn't playing enough. Tyler Hero, I didn't even say his name until right now. 4% owned. I don't have a share. He's 8K, and I'm fine with it. He is not going to be running out those ridiculous games like he did in game two. You guys don't seem to be Bam fans. Echo doesn't like it. Deuce Trey doesn't like it. Chill One doesn't seem to love it either. What's the problem with Bam here? So you say KP over Bam for 900 less. How about both? How about we play both of them? Why don't we do that? I mean, we'll talk through the rest of the centers that exist here. I think Martin is the easiest guy to get to. Some might think it's Jaquez. I just don't think Jaquez projects all that well. Actually, let me take a look at Jaquez's props. Let's see if I'm off by anything major on the prop market. I got him in at a little over 12.5 real points. So we'll start there. Jaime Jaquez's points prop is currently 14.5. So I'm a point and a half behind. And I did go 33 minutes. Could be something to dig into. I also don't mind being a little bit under. His rebound prop is 4.5. I got 4.1. And then his assist prop is 3.5 juice to the under. I have 3.1. So I think that one's spot on. You know, you can make a case to give Jaquez like another point, but I'm happy being light on Jaime Jaquez. But it's Bam and Martin for me. DeLon Wright and Nikola Jovic filler. Wright back after missing game three for personal reasons. But like the most expensive guy on Miami is Tyler Hero. I didn't think you could get to him in game two, and obviously it went well, but I see no reason that you're playing Tyler Hero today. Jaquez or Caleb and Cash, both. It'll be both. But yeah, it's Bam and Martin for me. Not much else, though. Alrighty. 260 people in the door. Hit that like button. Let's talk a little bit about what we've got going on for the rest of the day. And I believe I got tagged in quite a bit of shows today. We do. MLB Strategy Show coming up next at 11 a.m. That's going to be Laffy and Greg. You've got Greg then back with Matt Bellman at 5:30. That's going to be for MLB Live Before Lock. Myself and Eric will be back at 6:30. And then Greg and I will be on playback at 7:30, going all the way up until the tip of the Thunder and Pels game. Ron, so you're telling me he's due? Ron says Bam hasn't had 40 or more fantasy points since April 7th against Indiana. That means he's due, man. Yeah, S&P, that could be the instance where I bump that usage rate a point or two, get him up to like, I don't want to keep 25 because I don't think that's a long-term thing. Or at least it shouldn't be the goal. But I'll bump up Jaquez to like 21. That takes his points prop to 13.6. That'll work. Yeah. I like that because I want to be lower on it, but he's definitely handling the ball a little bit more. Bumps that up to, you know, just shy of that 14 mark. Cuts it in half, basically. That probably gets me to like 15% Jaquez, which is where I think he should be if he's that owned. All right, let's go to OKC. This is where we start to talk. Here's my pay-up option du jour. Now we have 36% ownership coming into Josh Giddey. Going to go ahead and disagree with that one. I have 4%. We have 30 coming into Lou Dort. I don't think you guys will be surprised, but I absolutely want that. He's 4,400 small forward eligible, and he's going to play like 35 minutes. Give me all the Dort. I'm 2Xing him at 29% owned. But the one that I want to talk about the most, 14% owned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 9K, 48% owned for me. Give me the big SGA stand at point guard. You know, we didn't really talk about any crazy guard plays in Boston or Miami. Makes it really easy in my eyes because you know you have Jokic, LeBron, AD, the Boston Wings, anybody from Miami. Most of these guys aren't point guards. SGA corners that market. So I like SGA as my preferred pay-up option at 9K. Dort, to me, the easiest value piece on the slate, the guy that I would like to get to the most, 4,400. We're talking about Lou Dort needing 24 fantasy points. As a small forward on a three-gamer. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. SGA is the big reason why KP and Bam won't work. Well, I mean, I'm 2 or 3Xing all three of those guys, so it seems like it's working. Are you guys mad at me for thinking Lou Dort's one of the best plays on the slate? Let me know. And then you've got Jalen Williams at 7,100. Point guard, small forward eligible. Think he's properly owned at 19%. I'm neutral. I think Chet is properly owned at 6,900, 16% owned. He's in 14% of me. I like pieces of OKC here for sure, and the starters are fine. Giddey's getting a lot of love because he was able to be out there for 30-plus minutes. And now that we know that that upside is there, I think he's intriguing, but we have him 25% optimal, 36% owned, negative 11 leverage. It's a little high. It's a little high. So that's why I'm getting so little. If that ownership comes down to around 30, then I'm probably up in that 15 range. But I see Giddey as a guy that I can kind of easily get away from. But it's Dort. I think Dort is unassailable just because of his price and position. And then for SGA, I think he just puts his foot across the Pelicans' throat. He's going to have, I think, a lot of space to work with. Would I rather have SGA over AD tonight? Yes. Stephen Leibowitz, He's been very bad in general. Wasn't he in the winning lineup after game three? Pretty sure he had like a really good game three. Am I wrong? Yeah, 23 fantasy points. I mean, that's still like spot on his value number. 23 the game before that. Yeah, like these last two games for Dort at 23 fantasy points. That's like spot on his target. It takes so little for him to cross that barrier at 4,400. What do you guys think about Josh Giddey? That's what I want to know, because we saw Giddey be able to be out there on the floor. But if the Pelicans are going to zag, Giddey might actually be a bigger problem now. And we'll talk about the Pelicans in a second. I know nothing about cherry picking one game. I think Giddey's the kind of guy that you want to get to if he's not 36% owned, because there's so much downside here. If everybody's there, I think it's much easier to hope that he just doesn't make his threes. Big Bino, that's probably not the way to look at it. But, you know, you do you. I'm just going to tell you guys this. Play a lot of Lu Dort. Play a lot of SGA. Feel free to roster Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren as you want. Because we have SGA 20% optimal, 14% owned. That's right with me. We have Jalen Williams 25% optimal, 19% owned. Both positive leverage options. And then you've got like the Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins guys that are less appealing to me. All right, that's it for OKC. Let's go to the Pels. This is where it gets hard. So they're balanced in ownership. This is going to take a big conversation. 20 to 25% ownership on Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, Najee Marshall, and Trey Murphy, and then another 15 for Larry Nance. I went 20 minutes to Joval. It's not ever going to get me to Joval. I also think he's live to not start. I think he's live to not play much at all. I think he's live to play more than 20 minutes. I don't have a single share of Joval. We saw them finally pull the plug on him in the past game. I know DK has been saying it. You guys know that I've been saying it. We've all been saying it. We knew this was going to happen and no one wanted to listen, and then it finally happened. So there's that. But I see a lot of things that we can get to from the Pelicans. I find them incredibly interesting in this spot. The Pels are my second most exposed team behind Denver right now. I'm going to Brandon Ingram at 7,200 in this spot. He's point guard, shooting guard eligible. He's 24% owned. I have him as the number two play on the day. I just think that price tag is too low. I know he hasn't been good. I only went 36 minutes. I think there are more minutes in him than what I'm projecting, but I'm still miles over the field. One of my biggest stands of the day. We have him 24% optimal, 24% owned. But he's not the only guy that I'm getting to. Trey Murphy, 23% owned, 44% of my lineups. Larry Nance, 14% owned, 30% of my lineups. Two big stands there. We have Nance, 35% optimal, 14% owned. Those numbers are going to come together. Nance is going to end up a little bit more owned. Trey Murphy, we have 18% optimal. We also have a big optimal rate on Herb Jones, Najee Marshall at 19%, CJ McCollum at 19%. All of this ownership is completely warranted on the Pels, and you can see I'm getting it too. I'm over on Murphy. I'm neutral on Marshall. I'm over on Nance. I'm over a little bit on Herb Jones. The only guy that I'm not just immediately well over on is CJ McCollum. Jamming in Ingram, jamming in Trey Murphy, 2xing Nance. I like the Pelican side from a DFS standpoint, even if I'm a fan of OKC here. But I'm not having any trouble getting to these guys. The one guy that I know that I won't have is Joval. But that Nance ownership, I think, is going to come up throughout the day. This is just like an incredible spot. They're trying to save their season. This very well could be their final home game if it doesn't go well. Who knows what this team looks like next year? Brandon Ingram probably not on it, if we're being honest. So they need this one. So I'm happy to throw all my eggs into the Brandon Ingram basket. I'm happy to go after Trey Murphy, who's playing 40 minutes a night or more. And I think that Larry Nance is going to see a decent chunk of time at the five. Even if he doesn't start, the Larry Nance is starting the second half message seems like it's going to be pretty likely to get. And then you have that obvious like Najee Marshall value. If you're a believer in Joval not playing, then you're absolutely a believer in Najee Marshall because they need him to be able to go to that five out look, or at least four and a half out look, depending on how you feel about Larry Nance. And then, you know, like I don't think that you can get to Dyson Daniels, but the less they play Joval, the more that they have the ability to play Dyson Daniels. Ron, last game, it was 12 minutes to Joval and 29 and a half to Nance. But mostly, I just want you guys to see what it is. Like, if you project Joval for 20 minutes, you don't get him. If you think it's anything lower than that, you extra special don't get him. But I just want everybody to realize what it takes to get Joval. And it's assuming he plays probably 22 to 24 minutes. What do you guys think about the Pels? Who stands out to you guys? Do you like my Ingram stand? Do you like the Trey Murphy stand? Where do you land on those two guys? I think Ingram is Ingram's been so bad, but at the same time, he's 7,200 and I mean, he's the best player on the team, right? What do we do with that? I know he's hurt. I know things don't seem right, but 7,200 for the guy that's the best player on the team currently, I want to get that. I really do. And then for Trey Murphy, it's position and minutes that are so hard to get away from. The fact that he's guard forward matters. Like Najee Marshall is just easy to roster. To me, Nance is just easy to roster. But Ingram, I feel like, is just getting slept on. What did Ingram do last time out? Why am I not scrolling any faster? Okay, that happened. All right, Ingram. All right, so 29 and a half last time out is not going to get it done. 30 the game before that, not going to get it done. 25 the game before that. It's been bad. We need this one. The New Orleans-Sacramento game with 41. That's what we're looking to get to. Yeah, he's not playing well at all. But if you're not a believer in Ingram, then you're probably just a bigger believer in OKC minus 4.5. Jaylen Brown only 300 more than BI. So I have a pretty big gap between the two, I think. But let's look at it. We got Brown here. I got Brown at 36.5. I have Brandon Ingram projected for quite a few more fantasy points. And I think the big difference here is the pace of this game. And I think that's the part that gets slept on the most. Boston-Miami is so slow in comparison to New Orleans and OKC that it really just starts to make Brandon Ingram get a boost over somebody like Jaylen Brown. But all told, The New Orleans Pelicans are the team that I have the second most of, and I think you guys should be joining me. I also think that you guys should be signing up for the MLB lineup generator using the promo code DOUBLE. $5 for your first week. If you hate it, cancel at any time. You're only out $5. I don't think you're going to hate it. I think you're going to love it. Easiest way to get quality MLB lineups using these stochastic tools. We generate thousands and thousands and thousands of lineups, and then we evaluate them. We get rid of everything that we think stinks, and we present the rest to you. Contrarian builds, chalky builds, balance builds, lock players, swap players, export up to 20 via CSV. Lineup pops up on the screen. Click save if you like it. Click discard if you don't. It works perfectly on mobile. You get projections. You get ownership rates. It's all right there in front of you. And I think it's, if you're like a one or two, three lineup player, this is going to create better lineups than you've been creating in the past, and it's going to save you some time. So if you want to try this one out, the link is in the description. $5, promo code DOUBLE. All right, let's get to the final game of the Lakers-Nuggets series. Lakers are 7.5-point dogs in Denver, 217 total. We have 33% ownership coming into Anthony Davis, 9,700 center only, 20% to Austin Reeves, 18 to D'Angelo Russell, 18 to LeBron James, 8 to Rui, 8 to Taurean Prince. I'm on the bad pieces of the Lakers here today, but the guy that I actually like the most is D'Angelo Russell. He's 6,100 and he's point guard only, 18% owned. I'm 2xing. So Russell played in the past four games, 41 minutes, 39 minutes, 41 minutes, and then he had the stink bomb where he only played 24 and wasn't really participating. I projected him for 37, and we know that he could play three or four more above that number. But 6,100 for like a 0.9 guy that can play 40 minutes at point guard, we haven't talked about a lot of point guards today. I think Russell's getting slept on a little bit. We have him 20% optimal, 18% owned. We do have AD with negative leverage a little bit. LeBron, basically neutral. But I think Russell looks the best based on his ownership and based on his position. I'm not that big of a believer in Anthony Davis. You know, I'm getting to Bam Adebayo at lower ownership. I'm getting to Larry Nance at lower ownership. I have a neutral amount of Chet. I think Al Horford is interesting. I obviously have a bunch of Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think the Lakers win the game, so I'm happy to not have AD in that regard. I think I could handle most of that. Like, it's not, it's never fun, but at some point in time, you have to not play somebody. We have AD's point, or the points prop for AD is 25.5. It's possible I need to give him an extra minute. I'm also, the points prop on LeBron is 27.5 with heavy juice to the under. Probably have to give AD a minute up to 42. And LeBron up to 41. But I still want to be lighter on both of those guys. I think the dynamic between Rui Hachimura and Taurean Prince is very interesting because Rui hadn't been playing well and then was like a huge plus minus guy in game four, but also lost a bunch of minutes to Taurean Prince. So I went 24 minutes to Prince. I think he could play more than that. He's 3,500. As like sneaky sub 10% guys, I like Prince and Hachimura. Reeves is not a guy that I'm all that fond of for today. 20% owned. He's in half of my stuff. I just really hate this spot for the Lakers. It's at best pace down. They're heading back to elevation. That's not great for these guys. They don't have the extra day of rest. That's not great for these guys. It's just tricky for me. I just don't find the Lakers interesting. But you got to be ready. Like, if Rui's going to play 21 minutes again, then Taurean Prince is probably the guy that you're looking to for the Lakers for value. But if I want one guy from the Lakers today, it's actually D'Angelo Russell. So let's, does anybody else like D'Angelo Russell? I mean, he needs 36 fantasy points at 6,100. 36. Let's see. D'Angelo Russell. Because obviously we know he had at least one game that blew that one out of the water. D'Angelo Russell. So he had 35.5 last game out. If he just does that same thing, you're happy that you played D'Angelo Russell. 37.25 in game two. That'll work. The 25.25 is going to hurt you from game one. That 36 against the Pels, certainly worth it. He's right at that 36 mark, and that's what we're looking for here. And that says nothing about like 37 or 38. Plus, he's only 18% owned. That's not all that high for this. We got to remember, there's only six teams. Peter, I disagree. I don't think that he's high risk. He's only 6,100. We're talking about a guy that's a 0.9 fantasy point per minute, dude. Like, who's around him? Like, Aaron Gordon's twice as owned. Josh Giddey is twice as owned, $600 cheaper. I feel a lot better about getting to D'Angelo Russell at half the ownership of Josh Giddey. If D'Angelo Russell's high risk, you better believe Josh Giddey's high risk, and he's twice as owned right now. I really think he looks interesting compared to Giddey. All right, one more thing that we got to talk about here, guys. It's very easy. The banner at the top of the screen. It's Sleeper. They're the sponsor of this show. You can get up to $500 on your first deposit. There's a link in the description. Take advantage of these deposit offers, guys. It's the easiest way to build up your bankroll with very little risk because they just give you that money. You have to play through it, but you're starting yourself off in a much better spot by maximizing deposit bonuses. You can use Odds Shopper if you're looking for more plays. They've got dynamic payouts at Sleeper, so you can get multipliers up to 100x. You could really build up a massive bankroll. Play through it. If you find out you love Sleeper, great. You have more money on Sleeper. If you find out you don't, you have more money for yourself to figure out where you want to be. So click the link in the description if you want to sign up at Sleeper. They're running free squares constantly. That'll help keep your costs down. And all you got to do is click that link in the description of this video. All righty. Final team to talk about, Denver Nuggets. This is my most exposed team. We are currently projecting 30 to 37% ownership to Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, KCP, Porter Jr., and Jokic. I'll say that again. 35% ownership to Aaron Gordon, 33 to Jamal Murray, 30 to KCP, 34 to Porter Jr., 37 to Jokic. And I'm over the field pretty significantly on four of those five guys. I'm half the field on Nikola Jokic, but I'm over on Gordon. I'm well over on Jamal Murray. I'm well over on KCP, and I'm over on Michael Porter Jr. Give me everything here. Give me everything here from the Denver Nuggets starting lineup. Would I like to have a little bit more of Nikola Jokic? Yeah, obviously. He's Nikola Jokic. But if I'm going to have the whole rest of the team, then maybe today isn't the Jokic scoring day, and he's just going to rack up all of the assists. All of this ownership is what they should have. I have them ranked 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th. I have the Denver starting five all in my top 10. They have the highest implied total on the slate. The Lakers play at the 4th fastest pace. We have everybody in the starting five from 25 to 35% optimal. This is the easiest team to want to get to. Every single starter is fine. You probably want at least one in every lineup, if not two. I just want the Nuggets across the board. I don't see how you get away from these guys. It's the best spot. It's the best spot. Where do you guys want to go on Denver? Do you guys agree? But I want every piece of this. All of it. They're my most exposed team, and they should be. I like that for swaps if you need it later on if something weird happens. But I think the late night hammer is just taking the defending champs at home against a team that isn't as good as them. And Denver knows that they're going to get into elevation and they're going to end this series and get some rest heading into the second round. It's right here for us. Look, there are teams where you always, like, if this were Boston, everybody has that little seed in their head that this is, like, they're going to choke this away. No one thinks that for Denver. Denver going home, defending champs, best team in the West. They're going to take care of business on their home floor. They always do. And today's going to be no different. The Lakers are going home. Give me all of Denver. Landon, if Denver is blowout potential, then Boston is, because Boston's a bigger favorite by 3 points. So if you're looking at that for the second game today, then you probably are looking at DFS wrong. What about Murray's calf injury? If he doesn't play, don't play him. If he plays, play him. That's all I can do. His points prop is 23.5 juice to the over right now. So if you're worried about his calf injury, go fire away on those unders. I do think this is interesting. Nikola Jokic is projected for 29.2 real points. Jokic's prop is 27.5. Well, Echo, we could actually give that data. Bam Adebayo's chance of scoring 48 fantasy points is 35%. The Lakers are plus 240 in this game. Which means they are, I don't know, call it 30% to win today. So it's close. But Bam Adebayo is slightly more likely to hit his target score than the Lakers are of winning this game. That's where I have it, at least. But it's close. Basically the same thing. Bam being in the optimal lineup, to me, is essentially the same as the Lakers winning outright in Denver. Rough Buff, it's definitely not Reggie Jackson time. Calf injuries ain't no joke. He probably won't play. That's one take. That's one take. Maybe you won't. That's fine. Then it's Reggie Jackson time. But even if there's no Jamal Murray, I mean, the Nuggets are still the favorites here by a lot. Probably 6 points. Then they can get them right. But as usual, we will always assume that everybody's playing until they're not. If he doesn't play, you know, you're obviously going to have a much easier time getting to D'Angelo Russell on the opposite side for some of your swaps. But the easiest thing to do here is play the Nuggets. Gordon, Murray, KCP, Porter, Jokic. That's where it's at. All right, let's take a quick peek at what my number one lineup was coming out of the sim. That's going to be SGA, KCP, Lou Dort, Caleb Martin, Bam Adebayo, Jamal Murray, Herb Jones, D'Angelo Russell. I'm not going to lie, I love that lineup. We're spread out over a couple different teams. You've got the SGA, like, you've got SGA and Dort. You get Herb Jones on the opposite side. You get Caleb Martin and Bam. No representation at all from Boston. And then you get Murray and Russell going back and forth for Denver and LA. Yeah, Ron, what are you going to do? We tried. That is the number one lineup that I have, most likely to win as well. Most likely to be top 10 as well. It all looks good. It all looks good. Anything else you guys want to see, folks? MLB strategy show coming up in the next 15 minutes. Any further questions before we get out of here? I guess I'll sum it up with my top plays. My most exposed plays right now. Are Brandon Ingram, Lou Dort, KCP, Jamal Murray, and then I'm going to add SGA fifth. That's my preferred payout. My biggest fades. Remember, it's early. None of this matters until we get to Live Before Lock. Josh Giddey, Jaime Jaquez, Anthony Davis, Derek White, and let's say Peyton Pritchard, considering I do have Nikola Jokic. But that's where we're at, folks. That is where we're at. Make sure you guys hit that like button. This was fun. We had three games today. I love talking about it. And I'll be back again later tonight at 6:30 with Eric for NBA Live Before Lock. Don't forget to hit the like button on your way out the door. It helps me a ton. I'll talk to you guys later.